She's out, he's in, ageism, and cell phones.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for March 25th, 2019. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. I'm a little flummoxed because I literally was running way behind, ran over here, because today, as we record this, the Mueller report came out over the weekend, and it seems to be a big bucket of nothing.
And a big deal.
Yeah, so I cranked out a cartoon for the Chicago Tribune, and now I'm over here. And
you worked very hard on it, and it took a long time. You don't crank out anything.
No, that's true. They are all pieces of art worthy of the Louvre. Oui?
Oui.
Let's do the rest of this in French.
That's pretty much all we can say. Oui, bonjour. Oui.
You can do your French.
No.
Okay. That would be offensive. So I'm going to jump into, can I jump ahead? Because I know you hate it when I do that, but I just want to talk about the ageism thing because I was wrong, by the way. Okay. Let me start with this. I was wrong. Really, really wrong.
Okay.
Just about Hillary Clinton, AKA Honey Bunny. I was convinced that she was going to run. She still left the door open a crack because she didn't, like, it's ridiculous. People tend to, like, say, well, she didn't actually say that I'm never, ever, ever, never, ever, 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 ever going to not run ever in my life ever again. She didn't do that. She did say she's not running. And I was wrong. I was convinced that she was running. I said so in the strip. I've said so on
several
this podcast.
Times.
And so Scott was wrong. And I just need to point that out.
Okay.
That, I was about as wrong gets. I'm sure our commenters commented on that.
No. One person, Synigma, said if Hillary didn't exist, the GOP would be forced to invent her.
No, we have others.
Stacey Marshall said, Honey Bunny's decision to not run is the best thing she can do to get Trump defeated.
Yeah, I think that if Hillary had jumped in again, although I don't, from a historic standpoint, I've always said this, I thought that Al Gore should have run again in 2004. I think he would have won. Hillary not running again, she won the popular vote by over 3 million votes. It's by the biggest margin of losing an election, which is weird. Had she run again, I think that she would have had a chance at winning. And I can also understand that this is something she's wanted forever and came within an eyelash. I think she was not a good candidate and ran a bad campaign.
Could you come back and run a better one?
Anyone can, sure. And I think that the history of losing the popular vote, winning the popular vote, but losing the Electoral College, and yes, everyone laughs at me because all these examples are from the 19th century, it's still salient. It still applies, people, that, you know, it has happened. The candidate came back 4 years later and ran again, and they won by a lot. So could you have won? Who knows? I mean, could anyone have told you in 2015 Donald Trump would win the presidency? Would you have believed them?
No.
No, it's preposterous. Of course not. So, but in this instance, she gave every indication, seemed to be doing everything that a candidate does to tee themselves up to run again. And I think for the Democratic Party, what's left is Biden and, and Sanders. And I talk about Bernie Sanders. I have him as a drama, as a bit of a hound dog in the strip.
A Saint Bernard.
Yes. Yeah. And they're fuzzy, lovable dogs.
Yes, they are.
But I made fun of his age. And listen, I'm about to be 60, folks. So I don't know if that's okay, but I still.
The Amethyst 52. Several people mentioned that Trump is the oldest candidate ever. Mm-hmm. And Amethyst 52 said Dumpty will be 73 in June. The seven is silent.
I love that line so much. I hope it's original. And if it isn't, I don't care. I'm still going to steal it, if that's okay. Dumpty? Was that who it was?
No, it was Amethyst 52.
Amethyst.
Referred to Trump as Dumpty.
Dumpty, okay. So Amethyst, that's such a great line. Yes, he's 73, but the seven is silent. What's interesting is we have this whole new generation coming up. And none of them are really being seriously represented in the polls yet. They will. And that's going to happen. And I suspect that as the Democratic Party, as the candidates shake out, you're going to have a front runner. And right now you don't. So, right now, for me, it's just sort of fun trying to guess and play with this stuff.
Well, a couple people also commented. Well, 112 Lena Pa said, the problem isn't with Bernie's age. How are you going to pay for all of his freebies? The federal government can't be everybody's fairy godmother. Even the gross old perverts limited the cash cow benefits to their own kind.
Who's the gross old perverts?
GOP.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay, I'd never heard that before. Now I have, and I'll never forget it, apparently.
And Raby65 responded, saying, our government has always given away free stuff. This includes not only things like food assistance and Pell Grants, but also defense contracts and tax preferences for the wealthy donors. The key for me, as an informed voter, is to identify which free stuff would actually benefit me and which candidates are in tune with this thinking.
That's an interesting way to look at it. And I think politics, I mean, that's a fascinating way to look at things. And I think politics does come down to what affects me.
Right. Well, that's
the individual.
And very obvious.
So you're going to vote your self-interests. And that's, I think, how Trump got elected. The self-interest, weirdly enough, was people who voted for him felt disenfranchised. They felt that they had given the opportunity for decades to the Democratic Party to be for the little guy, and they saw what happened. And they got a candidate like Hillary Clinton, quite frankly, who was a statist, who was a product of Wall Street, and frankly, a puppet of Wall Street. And they were tired of it. And so they wanted someone who was going to represent their interests. This guy doesn't give two craps about their interests, but or even one, quite frankly. So what other comments do we have?
Let's see. You mentioned Biden, and Coffee Cup says Biden is everyone's favorite candidate until he actually becomes a candidate.
Yeah.
Then they realize that Delaware is home to a lot of banks due to lax regulation, and Biden is sticking up for them at all times.
Exactly. And I think, too, he's run for president twice before and failed miserably. So positioning him as the candidate to go against Trump, could he handle Trump? I think he could. I mean, he's obviously maneuvered in the highest levels of government. Does that mean you can go against this petulant child? I mean, I think you need someone who can take him to task, you know? Is Biden the guy? Biden's going to be old too. I don't know. I don't see a Democrat who can take this guy on yet. And taking him on, I mean, it's a weird amalgam. How do you take on a screaming five-year-old child?
Right. And when you do point things out, his base still doesn't believe anything.
Yeah. So the Democrats have a tall order. Losing the Mueller decision today, you know, we've talked about this, and I've talked about it in my editorial cartoons and on this podcast and other podcasts, frankly, is that I always felt it was a mistake by the Democrats to put all their eggs in this basket because they didn't know what the basket was even. And to his credit, it really has elevated my view of Mueller, which I didn't have any because I had no idea who he was prior to this, quite frankly. But the fact that his investigation seems to have been on the up and up, he did the right thing. There is no leaks. He released his opinions and in the report, and I think that that's admirable. He didn't go one way or the other. Attorney General Barr today said that he doesn't look like there's enough to say that there was obstruction of justice. I think that's kind of jumping ahead of the horse a little bit, but okay. All in all, I think that, you know, the Democrats were morons. This is a bigger hit than they think, and I think it's going to become a bigger hit over the weeks ahead and during the campaign. You can't paint. And if you had 2 years of this administration being painted with the Russian brush, that they were in collusion, that he's Putin's patsy, he still may be. Quite frankly, I think Putin's has played the last three presidents like a fiddle, but now they don't have to. They're out from under that auspices, that yoke. And I think that means this guy may get reelected. I mean, they've taken away a big chunk. The Democrats were morons for playing this the way they played it.
Because they have to focus on other reasons to,
right,
to defeat him, not so much impeach, because right now we're so close to the election, just defeat him.
Yeah, and I don't know that they can. I really am feeling, and I feel weird about this, Janine. I do, because I can't, I mean, I can admit this on the podcast, and we have a cousin who listens to it, and that's about it. No, I'm joking, of course, and thank you for listening, if you are, by the way. But I have to admit, I don't want this guy reelected. That's me. I'll vote for a Democrat. I have not voted for a Democrat for president ever. Ever. Did I say ever?
Yes, you did.
Ever. Janine can attest to this. Even if I don't care for them, I still cannot pull the lever for a Democrat. It just,
well, not for president, but you've done it for governor, you've done it for local.
Yeah, I've done it exactly, I think, probably six times in my entire life, and I'm almost 60, so
I don't understand that, but...
What don't you understand?
Well, because sometimes you are not super Republican, especially the way the party is now. And you just seem, I think you just have it in your head that you are, and that's it. So that's what you have a problem with.
When you and I started dating, I was super Republican. I worked in Republican politics.
But Republicans were different, perhaps.
No, I think they were. I think it was a broader tent. You know, we had moderate Republicans, which is what I think I've become in my old age. And there's probably five of us left in the country. Three of you listen to the podcast. Thank you. But in all seriousness, I don't want this guy reelected. I don't like him. I think that he is ignorant. I think he surrounds himself with bad people. And I think he's bad for the country. I think he's bad attitudinally, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if...
He doesn't bring people together. He tears them apart.
Yeah. And if there was a Democrat that stepped forward that I actually felt, A, wasn't going to tax me into the Stone Age, and B, wasn't going to stumble into a war, and C, could actually bring us together with language that brings us together and with an attitude and with a, then I'd have to seriously consider them. I don't know what the Libertarian Party is having their national convention. They're going to have their candidate. We're going to see who that is. And I don't have a problem voting Libertarian. I've done it a number of times before when I have not liked the candidate, the Republican candidate. I voted Libertarian. You know, I think I did it in 1980 even, which is weird because I worked on the Reagan campaign. Did I do it in 80? When did I do it? When did Joe Clark run? You have no idea.
I have no idea.
Okay. Maybe if you're listening to this, you can tell us when Joe Clark ran for president of the Libertarian Party. Anyway, that's where I am right now in my thinking on the national campaign. And I hope the Democrats get their crap together. I really do. I mean, I think it would be an interesting and I'd like to see this guy challenged in a reasonable way. Anything else? Any other comments you think we need to get to? Or?
Well, you mentioned leaving your cell phone at home.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. You actually responded to someone. Darson54 said, you know you can carry your phone and just leave it in your pocket. Also hit the do not contact button while out. And you responded, I get that, Darson54, but for me it's all about trying to be in the moment, which grows harder and harder with every new technological item we buy. To which Cheapskate Zero responded,
oh, God.
Wow. All the issues we'd love to hear you talk about and a comment about cell phones is what gets you to respond? Did you read my comment yesterday? And here's his comment from the day before that he was talking about. The problem is Scott is inconsistent in condemning 45, and as such, so is Carmen. Scott and Carmen may take on 45 from time to time, but are lightning quick to defend any Republican from any Democrat. Hence, it is easy to be confused as to whether Scott or Carmen support 45, which, well, I disagree, and I'm sure you do too.
Well, and I just said how I feel about it, that, you know, I draw him as a skunk. I think you need that. Kind of tells you a lot about how I feel about the guy. And I've, but there are some policies and quite, and here's the nut graph. The economy is doing great. It's growing, but it's not white hot. So it's not dangerously expanding. Inflation is at, is, you know, one indicator that came out recently, it's like under 1%. Wages are finally starting to tick up in a meaningful way, and that's accelerating. And we're at peace. I'm just wondering how, you know, so there's a part of me that thinks, okay, this is working, whatever this is. A friend of mine, I think I can quote him. I think he won't be mad if I quote him, but Ted Rall had a great line. He says, if anything, Donald Trump has reinvigorated my belief in the American system. I go, what the hell are you talking about? And Ted's been on this podcast, and he's a very dear friend. But he said, because if the Republic can survive Donald Trump and still continue and just keep going the way it's going, it can survive anything. That's how I feel. There are some things about this administration that I, and have done some things that I agree with. But the fact of the matter is, ultimately, how does, we just mentioned this a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Ultimately, how does this affect me? How does it affect you? And how does it affect your family? There are jobs to be had. There's competition for labor, which means wages are going to go up. These are good things. And we're at peace.
Yeah, but we've also had family members who had trouble with some of the things Donald Trump has done.
Well, I think the tariffs are stupid. They're not Republican. They're not conservative. I think any control of markets in an economy, that is actually communist. You know, we talk about socialism and the president, socialism, socialism, socialism. Government controlling means of production is socialism. tariffs are socialism. Trying to control manufacturing and get and wherever the jobs end up, that's socialism, and I oppose that. So, yeah, am I conflicted on this? A little bit. But, yeah, you're right. I don't dive into the comments very often. If maybe I should. Should I?
I don't know. You don't have really a lot of time, so.
Well, I can also comment. I mean, I here's my feeling on comments, and then we'll call things, or unless we have another comment you want to mention. But here's my feeling on comments is I've made my comment. You know, I have the comic strip and my editorial cartoons. I have a platform and a big microphone.
And you do the podcast, which explains things and comments on the comments.
Right. I don't feel like I want you guys to have your say without me jumping in. And
that's one thing you do very well is I think people really have a discussion, whether they, you know, are yelling at each other, and sometimes they're not. It's very interesting to see some comments where some people are yelling at each other, and then later on, the same two people who've been yelling previously are agreeing on something.
Yeah, so I bring people together. I'm all about the love, Janine.
Okay.
That's it for me, Scott Stanis, the love cartoonist. Thank you, Janine. And thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Thank you to our wonderful producer, Brian Altheimer. His back's feeling better. So if you say a prayer, say a little prayer for Brian and his back. He says he's back in the gym, so that's cool. And he had his wedding ring resized, so it won't slide off.
Everyone knows.
Well, yeah, I don't think this is like deep Brian information, is it?
No, I think he'll be okay with it.
Okay. But he's also a great producer. He's been he's so nice, a nice man. Yeah, and a good dad, and so and a good husband. Yeesh.
He's great.
Yep. Anyway, we're lucky to have
him. I want to be Brian.
I want to be Brian when I grow up. I'm sorry, I'm not Janine. But anyway, thank you. And thank you to WGN and WGN Plus for hosting our podcast and supplying all the equipment and stuff. And let's see, if you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you're more than welcome to by going to gocomics.com/prickly city. That's gocomics.com/prickly city, and you can register and get stuff, and you can get the email, which I do, and I love getting it every morning because then I get to see, well, Prickly City, which is, you know, let's face it, awesome. And I get to see other cartoons that are equally on a second or third tier as awesome. you can leave a comment, maybe we'll use it here on the podcast, or you can contact us directly by emailing us at PricklyCity@gmail.com. That's PricklyCity@gmail.com. For everyone here and for myself, I want to say thanks again for listening. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.